Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Adrian Puren joining me now. He's the Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. How are you? How was your break?
It was lovely. Thank you very much. Nice to be in the cradle of humankind. So thank you very much. And I wish you well and your listeners well for the year.
Thank you so much. And to you too.
Thank you.
We started a conversation about the mRNA vaccination. What do we know about the mRNA vaccination? Why is it different to other vaccinations?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question and an important question. And conventionally, many of the vaccines that are in use today are based either on a subunit protein of a vaccine or is incorporated into what we call a backbone, such as another virus, for example, such as adenovirus, which is currently also used for COVID-19. But mRNA is unique in that we've not had a vaccine that's been so successful. In fact, the history of mRNA vaccines goes a long while. In fact, it starts off with the discovery of mRNA. So messenger RNA or mRNA contains, if you like, the message for what it codes for in terms of a protein. So the DNA or the genetic code codes for that particular protein, and the mRNA, the messenger RNA, carries that message and is then translated into the actual protein. So what actually happens is that this mRNA is encoded and is incorporated into a lipid nanoparticle. And once it's injected to an individual, it enters into the muscle cells. The mRNA is translated from that RNA code into a protein or amino acid combination. And those proteins are expressed on the surface of these particular cells and are then seen as foreign. And because they're seen as foreign, you then have your immune responses. And the immune responses include, for example, antibody responses or a combination of B and T cell responses. That's in essence how the mRNA works compared to, for example, the Johnson & Johnson, which has what is called an adenovirus backbone, but incorporates the code for the same or similar protein as the mRNA does. But it's a virus backbone which gets incorporated into cells, and that particular RNA is then transcribed and then also expressed on cells to activate an immune response. So they are rather different from each other. But I think the mRNA, I think it was so incredible to see. It has taken many years to get to this particular point. So yeah. It's a matter of chance preparing the prepared mind. But certainly it was significant in the rate at which those vaccines were able to come to fruition.
What's so interesting is as we are starting to see more and more mutations of the COVID-2 virus, mRNA, because of the way that it works, it seems to have a greater propensity to build our own immunity because it's the same model irrespective of what the mutation of the COVID-2 virus is.
Well, yes and no. I think we just need to be cautious. The mRNA was really to the, if you like, the wild type when that initially started off.
Mm-hmm.
And currently I agree with you that what we are currently using, and that's why the boosters have become significant, is that we've had to boost the immune response by using that same wild type mRNA. However, there are thoughts in two directions. One is to have a so-called universal mRNA vaccine that will be such that it will encode and regardless of mutations will still be effective. And the other is really to deal with particular mutations. So as you know, the Omicron had about 50 mutations overall, but I think about 30 odd of these were in the spike. So you need to then modify your mRNA code in order to deal with those particular mutations.
Professor Puren, it's always wonderful to speak to you. Thank you so much for getting my 5-year-old brain to understand what you're talking about. I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye. That's Professor Adrian Puren. He's the Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases.